ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Born out of his faith in God. It didn't save him. His faith did. And what the Jews were doing back then and what many do today is they put the cart in front of the horse. They're trying to work their way into heaven. And that's not how it works, because works don't save you. Jesus does. Now, how do we know if we're children of God? What do we have to believe? John said in 1 John 5, verses 1 through 3, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Absolutely. Faith, believe in God. What's manifested in our lives because of our faith in God? Good works. The things that we do, the things that we say. And yet for these Jewish religious leaders, Jesus says to them, you do the deeds of your father. Wow. They're saying, look, we know who our father is. You don't. See, they're trying to discredit Jesus. They said, Abraham's our father. Who's yours? And Jesus says, look, I come from the Father. You don't. You've rejected the one that the Father sent. And isn't it interesting today? You know, you talk with some people and they, you know, even some that call themselves Christians, and you try to talk to them about Jesus, and they don't want, hey, you know, that's a personal thing. We don't want to talk about that. Well, isn't that what it's all about? What does being a Christian mean? It means Christ follower. So if you can't even talk about the one you say you love, are you really in love? That would like be like, well, I am married to Julie, not be like married to Julie. I am married to her. But it would be like, I don't talk about her. Oh, are you married, Joe? Do you have a wife? I don't want to really talk about that. That's personal. Of course, you know, if someone talks to me about my wife, I'm going to explode with stuff about my wife because I love her. Some of the stuff I say, well, you know, but I love her. And that should be our relationship with Jesus. It should be bursting forth out of love. Not that, well, I really don't want to talk about that. Come on. And that's these guys. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. The Amplified Bible puts John 8:43 like this. Why do you misunderstand what I say? It is because you are unable to hear what I'm saying. You cannot bear to listen to my message. Your ears are shut to my teaching. How true that is. You know, you try to share Jesus. I don't want to know any of that. No. They shut their ears. They don't want to hear. Why? Because people want to do what they want to do. They want to do whatever they want. And they negate the things of God to appease their fleshly desires. And Jesus told them that if they were really children of Abraham, then they would do the works that Abraham did. Or they would believe upon Jesus being the Messiah because by faith Abraham believed. But they want to kill Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, guys, you're following the devil. He's your father. And again, man, I can't even imagine, you know, when we were in Israel several years ago, we were in this huge bus, had these huge windows from the top almost to the bottom of the bus so you could see out. And Moses was our bus driver. I mean, how could you go wrong? Moses was leading us, although we could have been wandering for 40 years out there. But someone threw, a Palestinian threw this huge ice trunk, cracked the whole window. And you should have seen these two. I mean, Moses was going at it, man. I thought, this is it. That guy's dead. Moses is going to kill him. That's the kind of, they're very emotional people. I kind of, like Italians, Mediterranean group of people, very emotional, very demonstrative in their actions. And I'm sure that they weren't happy. I mean, can you imagine if someone said to you, oh, you know, Joe, you're following the devil. Well, okay, that would not sit well with me. And I don't think it did with them. They let all their prejudices, jealousy, blind them to what Jesus was saying. And people do that today because of traditions, the way they were brought up, what this person said in a book or whatever. And they negate what God's word has to say. You know, it's interesting because, you know, this whole abortion thing is in the spotlight today, which is good. Hopefully this Supreme Court stands by what it wants to do, overturn Roe versus Wade. Thank you. I was thinking of a basketball player, and I thought, that's not right. But isn't it interesting how some Christians think that this is okay, that abortion is all right? And I shake my head. It says in the Psalms that God forms us in the womb. He knits us together. So I guess in my mind, I don't get that. How do we take a life? Well, you know, that person was a drug addict or whatever, so, you know, it's better off that they don't have any children. Who gives you the right to say that? If you have any doubts about how children can grow up in a very difficult situation, read the story of Dr. Ben Carson. Single mom raising two boys, they were getting into doing terrible things. And their mom kind of laid the law down. And they had to write what they learned from reading a book, write it down, and she would grade it. And she couldn't read. So I don't know how she did it. But they followed. And look at what Ben Carson was, a brilliant neurosurgeon. Don't give up on life. I wonder if we aborted someone that could have had the cure for cancer or diabetes or Parkinson's, and the list can go on and on. Who gives us the right to take a life? I think many people don't want to see what God says in his word. I think it's really clear. And that's for these Jewish religious people. They knew what their scripture said, the Old Testament said. This wasn't a surprise to them, but they couldn't accept it. A lot of it was jealousy. They didn't want to lose their position with Rome. Rome had given them the ability to continue doing the work, and they were very profitable because they were ripping the people of God off. They didn't want to lose that position. The Messiah, are you kidding me? Don't ruin my fun. How sad. And I like how Jesus confronts them in verse 46. Which of you convicts me of sin? That's an interesting statement. Because think about it. All the sin we have in our lives. That's why we need a Savior. We need Jesus. But who can convict Jesus of sin? No one, because he had no sin. Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Peter, 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Wow. The perfect sacrifice. And they didn't even have something to say against him. Which of you convicts me of sin? Come on, step forward. If you're not listening to God, if you're not listening to Jesus, who are you listening to? Oh, I'm my own person. I do my own thing. I guarantee you, you're not. You're listening to the devil. Those are the only two choices. It's either God or the devil. Again, I said before, you know, you think these political leaders, they think that they're in charge? God knows everything they're going to do. None of this stuff catches God by surprise. He's already told us some of the things that are going to happen. Yeah, we don't have the fine details, but we have the big picture. And they're listening to the devil. And it's interesting, Jesus says that the devil is the father of lies, that there is no truth in him. Well, here's the thing. Satan speaks mostly truth. And that's very, very dangerous. Jesus said he had no truth. I said he speaks mostly truth. Well, think about it. If I speak to you a half-truth, what is it? Thank you. It's a lie. Think about it. What did Satan do to Eve in the Garden of Eden? Has God indeed said? Very simple, right? He was challenging the word of God. That means Eve had to know what God said about eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Probably Adam had told her. And Satan comes along, has God indeed said? And that goes on through churches across America, challenging what God's word has said. Oh, that's not really what it means. They had a problem of homosexuality back in those days, and that's why Paul wrote against it. So we don't have a problem today. Has God indeed said? And here's the thing. If you accept one sin, what else do you have to accept? You have to accept all sin then. Where does it end? Who gives you the right to say, well, that's wrong, but this is right? God's already told us, right? So if I say that, if I want to believe that homosexuality is okay, what about pedophiles? Is that okay? Oh, Pastor Joe, you're wrong, you're gross. Well, you unloving, hateful person. Now, please, I'm not for pedophiles. But I'm saying you, once you open that door to allow sin in, what gives you the right to close the door for another sin? Well, then how do we know what's right or wrong? Right here. It's called the Bible. It's very simple. He also told Eve, you shall not surely die. What is he saying? Hey, don't worry about sin, man. There are no consequences to the things you do. Are you kidding me? And the third thing Satan said to Eve is, you will be like God. What does that mean? You'll know about good and evil. Or you can make your own decision of what's right and what's wrong. And look at America today. Protests in Minnesota because they're so upset about the abortion issue coming to the limelight, and we're starting to see a movement towards life. And they don't like it, so they're protesting, you know, destroying buildings. Really? I got an email. I'm part of a group of churches. It's a safety committee group, and warning us that there's word out there that these protesters are looking at churches to start protesting in. I welcome them because I love them. They need Jesus. If they want to disrupt, well, then I'm sorry, you can't stay, but you're more than welcome to sit here and listen and talk to me like civilized people. But if you want to be an animal, I'm sorry, then you have to leave. You see, we are not God. And everyone should be going, praise the Lord. Because, you know, if I was God, well, first of all, the Chicago Bears would have won 50,000 championships already. But the other thing is, some of you guys make me mad. You'd be toast, right? But you would be God too, so I'd probably be toast. Praise God that he is long-suffering, patient. Look at this world. Man, I would have toasted it long ago. But God doesn't want any to perish, but all come to that saving faith, so he's given people an opportunity. What a gracious God we have. We have to be careful who we're listening to, because there's a lot of pressure on people and churches today to follow their ways, the worldly ways. Sorry. Like Jesus said, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Pretty simple, right? You don't believe God's word? You're not of God. The proof is in the pudding. If you hear God's word, you'll obey it. That's what I'm talking about. So here we see this truth coming out by Jesus, the mocking by the religious leaders. And now we're going to see they have nothing to stand upon. Look at verse 48 here in John chapter 8. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? It's kind of like, you know, your mother wears army boots or whatever. They are so mad and frustrated. But what don't they have to present to Jesus? Something to stand upon. Okay, this is why we believe you're wrong, because of what the scriptures have to say. Why didn't they do that? Because they knew what the scripture said. They just didn't agree with it. So they're making fun of Jesus. They're mocking him, putting him down. You're a Samaritans. Samaritans to the Jews were the most despised race. They were half Jew, half Gentile. For the most part, Jews would not even go through Samaria. They'd go around a longer way because they didn't want the dust of Samaria to touch their feet. So they didn't like the Samaritans. And then they tell Jesus that he has a demon in him. You're demon-possessed, man. Again, did they have proof of that? No. They have nothing to stand upon. So they're name-calling. And I find it interesting, you know, when Tony was running for school board, if you looked at the Facebook posts that were going against him, they had nothing to stand upon. So they mocked him, made fun of him. If you are coming against someone, do it with the facts. Hey, you know why I don't accept that? Because this is what God's word has to say. Simple as that. Not because of my feelings, but what God's word has to say. So they're mocking Jesus, but look at the challenge by Jesus in verse 49 here in John 8. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. So Jesus is countering their accusations of him being demon-possessed by telling them that, look, I honor God. Someone who's demon-possessed obviously wouldn't do that. Why? Because Satan wants all the glory, all the attention, all the power. And that's the same stuff that these Jewish religious leaders were after. They wanted the attention. They wanted the glory. They wanted people to look at them. But Jesus points people to God the Father. He's not demon-possessed. And he wasn't a Samaritan. He was born in Bethlehem. So their accusations against him holds no water. These are empty words, and they refuse to listen. Verse 51 again. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Is that true? Well, it depends what you're speaking on. Are you speaking of physical death? Because we all know we're going to die physically unless the rapture happens before physical death happens. So Jesus is not speaking of physical death here. He's speaking of spiritual things. And these bodies, once this we cease brain activity, we die, our soul and spirit go to be with Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident yet well pleased to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Absolutely. The sting of death is taken away by Jesus. And so, in a sense, spiritually speaking, we don't die. Even you could look at the scriptures. When it speaks of Christians in the New Testament dying, it says they went to sleep. Why? Well, their body went back to the dust of the earth. Their spirit and soul went to be with the Lord. These are spiritual things. In fact, Jesus said in John 8:31 through 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Works don't save us, Jesus does, but boy, there are good works that flow from the life of a Christian. It's the evidence for their faith. And whatever you're filling your life up with will be manifested in the things you do, the things you say. We don't want to be a slave to sin. Jesus made us free. Let's remain free. But for the Jewish religious leaders, obviously they didn't like this. And they're going to. This is a challenge by the Pharisees. Look at verse 52 here in John 8. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom do you make yourself out to be? That's a very interesting question. These religious leaders are basically telling Jesus, who in the world do you think you are? Do you really think you're greater than our father Abraham, who's dead? Do you think you're greater than the prophets who are dead? Who do you think you really are, Almighty God? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly who he is. But they didn't want to hear what Jesus was saying. In fact, his whole ministry, that's what Jesus has said, that he is equal with the Father, that he is Almighty God. But they didn't want to hear. They closed their ears to the truth. They didn't want to believe. And their big question is, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And they expected a negative response. Well, you know, yeah, I know Abraham's dead, but and they didn't believe that Jesus was greater than Abraham. When Jesus was dealing with the Sadducees regarding the resurrection, the afterlife, he said in Matthew 22, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Isn't that interesting? These are the religious leaders, and they should have known better. But Jesus says, you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Wow. They negated the word of God, and they negated the power of God. Abraham was not dead. He was awaiting the death and resurrection of the Messiah, of Jesus, so he can enter into the eternal life with him. With all the rest who died in the faith before the Messiah came, they were within Abraham's bosom. Remember, in the center of the earth, there's this area, half of it for those who died apart from the faith, the other half for those who died in the faith. And when Jesus came, he spent three days and three nights in the belly of the earth. What was he doing? He's gathering his people who died in the faith to take them into heaven. So God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. You know, I think it's easy when we start looking at what the children of Israel, what the Jews did throughout their history. You can look at the Old Testament and, I guess, on into the New Testament with these religious leaders. But you go, how in the world? I mean, in the Old Testament, they had the Shekinah glory guiding them, right? The very presence of God, the fire by night, the cloud by day. When it moved, they were to move camp. And we go, how could you do that? How could you? Man, they were so foolish. And you know how God does it. Joe? Do you not have the Spirit of God indwelling you? Do you not have the Word of God before you? You're just as guilty. You say, oh, but they had so much. No, look at what we have. The Holy Spirit indwells us. These things were written beforehand for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. These are stories to learn from. Not easy, no. Remember the story of Abraham and his nephew Lot. They were very prosperous. Their herds grew, and they grew so much that the land couldn't support both of them. And in Genesis 13, verses 8 and 9, we're told, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if I go to the right, then I will go to the left. Abraham had every right to the land. He was the elder, but what did he do? He laid aside his liberty and his rights for the sake of his nephew. Are we willing to lay down our rights and bless others? Or is it about us? You see, we have to be careful. The children of Israel, yeah, they struggled a lot, but there were so many positive lessons as well. Think about our lives. I mean, do we do everything perfect? No. So we're learning all the time, aren't we? Isn't that when we were training up our children, didn't we allow them to make some mistakes so that they would learn? They would grow. Now, we wouldn't let them do something that would hurt them when they were very young. But we wanted them to grow, to learn from their mistakes and learn from their successes. You know, today, you know, we don't want anyone to have any failures, so everyone gets a trophy. You're not getting trophies when you leave here, sorry. No, we're going to blow it. And that's okay if you learn from it. If you repeat the same thing over and over again, that's not good. These men were willing to lay aside their rightful positions and possessions. They could have had it their own way, but they prospered because they let God work in them and through them. Learn from their example. You know, today one of the big things, and I'm not sure why this is a push today, but I've heard it from several different churches, don't teach out of the Old Testament, just teach out of the New Testament. I don't get it. Paul says that there are lessons in there we can gain to encourage us. We can learn patience, comfort that gives us hope. But many have moved aside. How sad. As we read the New Testament, that which was concealed in the Old Testament is opened up to us, right? We learn so many valuable lessons in the Old Testament. But here's this challenge by the Pharisees. And what Jesus is going to do is going to challenge them, a challenge that they made, and speak to them about Father Abraham. You know, what was their big question? Are you greater than our Father Abraham who is dead? Again, they weren't listening. Jesus has told them over and over throughout his ministry. We're 6 months from the cross, so they must have heard this very often, but they weren't listening. Listen to what Jesus says here in verse 54. John chapter 8. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, before Jesus answered their question in John 8:53, he came back to the matter of spiritual parentage.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.